There's a great simplicity that underlies the human process. And when we begin to become familiar with it, to surrender to this simplicity, we also begin to develop more faith. Faith is not possible when we're reaching for the distant dream of how it should be. In fact, that conditioning within us that we may or may not have tuned into, or that we may tune into occasionally, that conditioning that holds this view that there's a particular way that it should be, this particular way that I should be, and you should be, and it should be, and they should be, and so forth and so on, is a tyrannical view. It holds a certain tyranny. And by its very nature, it is adversarial. And yet, it's a great fun to sit there and talk about how things should be. You know? It's a way of entertaining the mind. Some of us do it more at a distance, you know, concerning how the world should be. Some of us are really right in there every moment of life with ourselves and with everybody else, operating out of this particular perspective. And it is so very painful. And it only projects greater and deeper intensity of this existential pain into ourselves, and as well into the way that we live and interact with others. So this is not to say that conditioning that operates within us is bad. It's just that it's not conscious. And that's the beauty of this particular view, this view from the blessing of the Dharma perspective, is that it's not bad, it's just not complete. I think it was actually here in this room, perhaps, that I suddenly looked up one day and saw Jesus hanging from a cross. And, you know, I just took that image with me, and at some point, when I was doing something else, you know, it was as if I thought nothing of it at the time, but later, the image kind of flashed again, and I had the opportunity to visit with the views that I had about Christianity and Catholicism. I didn't think I had any particular views, but boy, they were in there. And so I listened really carefully. I listened really carefully to this storehouse of impressions. And I thought, oh my goodness, there's so much unkindness in this view. Thank goodness I had an opportunity to see it. And as a result of seeing it, just being open, there was another view that arose as well, and that is that there's nothing wrong. It just is that it's just not complete yet. And I thought, oh, well, what does that mean? I think I have an ongoing Dharma talk going on inside of me all the time. It sort of produces these contemplations, you know, oh, what does this mean? I think we all do. And so I held that for a while. It's not complete yet. And what it really came to represent and motivate for me was the fact that we are not completely here yet. That was quite a little quantum leap there, but that anything that's not complete is because one is not completely present with that which is being held in some kind of disapproval or rancor. And that was a reinforcement for many, many years of practice. That I can't know, we can't know, you can't know what is true, what is complete for oneself, what the complete experience is, unless one is present within oneself to know it. Now that may be quite theoretical, but in this practice, this incredibly, that's a good word, incredibly, I don't want to use it though, this surprisingly simple practice, we begin to see that there is a certain amount of intentionality, as opposed to control, that we can muster, that allows for us to fill the gaps within our own consciousness. And one of the gaps that we'll be filling today is the gap between the unconscious process of the mind and everything that it is whispering to us, screaming at us, yelling at us, demanding from us, our attention, and this process of being present. Closing that gap and being by degrees more completely present. Eventually the mind becomes skeptical of any view that is not born of mindfulness. How can the mind know that which is born of mindfulness and that which is not becomes a part of the role of wisdom? Because as we do choose to take residence in a body in present time awareness here within this body, there are very distinct differences that begin to register that will call our attention back to presence of mind, away from engaging ways born of the conditioned view, the view that nothing is complete, nothing is right, to being more and more completely present. This is where it becomes very challenging, because unknowingly, our mission is to understand. You know, have you ever found yourself in that state? You know, it's like, I'm going to understand this no matter what I do. I'm going to understand this. You know, why did that happen? Why did he or she or why did, you know, understand it? You know, as opposed to say, okay, this is what transpired. I don't understand it. Because it's not possible to understand. And using again that kind of spark that came out of the universe to me the other day, we can only embody. So it's a very challenging transition from this impulse to understand to the surrendering of our attention to simply being present with this humble truth that one does not know, that one cannot know anything other than through one's own personal direct experience. And one's personal direct experience is not something that's informed through thinking. One can directly know the distinction between thinking, let's say, and the experience of a movement of a conscious breath. But one cannot know through thinking. So the surrender of our attention is really the challenge for us today. And I have to say, it has remained the challenge for me today and many todays in the past and many todays in the future, because I have learned over and over again. If I ever had the feeling of the thought, and I actually don't, I never have the thought that I am somehow advanced in meditation because I've practiced such and so forth, you know, many years, whatever. But if we were to use that model of becoming advanced in something because we spent a great deal of time or had a great deal of training, it's a false view. And instead it continues to be the humble choice to simply be present without knowing. And to become, therefore, aligned in a different quality of experience, true knowing, which is a kind of communion. When I say communion, I don't mean rapturous or full of any particular experience, but just that deep satisfaction and happiness to know that one has arrived. Just in this moment. Just this moment. And that is a complete experience of something that one can tolerate for maybe just a split second. But in that split second, in this split second, there is a tremendous faith that arises. And I can't say that you're going to say, oh, I've got it, there's the faith, because faith is an intuitive factor. It's not something we can understand. But in those moments of the surrender of our attention, when there is a sense that the power of mind has converged and just this quality of receptivity and awareness with, that is a moment of awakening. You might ask, to what? Just a moment of awakening. Because in that moment, there is a complete and radical reorientation of one's view of life, one's perspective, one's way of being, that begins to draw our attention in our daily life towards that which is wholesome. It is these moments, these split seconds, that have the power of various qualities converge that navigate our lives safely on the path of awakening, the path of freedom, liberation from suffering. It is not my job, nor is it yours, to accomplish this. So you can put down that burden if you wish. So this is all to say, this is all to say that today is going to be an opportunity to allow for this underlying simplicity that is offered to us through the teachings of the Foundations of Mindfulness, and in particular today, just becoming again familiar with the possibility of reconnecting and beginning to embody perhaps a way to shift in our orientation towards this possibility of cultivating mindfulness through the awareness of this body. We might just want to take a moment to contemplate. And perhaps I'll offer it in the form of a question. Is there truly any place else other than here that is not imaginary. You see everybody's minds going, you know, and a few minds going, actually not. Okay. That might be a contemplation or a question that you can engage occasionally when the mind gets into its busyness with where it should be and the images and thoughts and the distant dreams and the orientation just to something that doesn't exist but should be, could be, might be, if, and if but. Is there truly any other place other than here? Is there truly any other time other than now? Well, yes, you know, in 1742, you know, such and such engaged this great act, and, well, no, that's memory, isn't it? Truly to come to recognize the distinction between the here and now of this body, the here and now of this body, and the activity of the mind engaging the imaginary process born of memory and fantasy. And we can simply say that we chose fantasy, even though you might have a very, very well laid out plan for your retirement. You know, as precisely attended to as possible or not, it's still imaginary, because one can't know the future. So perhaps we can just rest in this contemplation for a moment. Is there in truth, anything other than here and now? Any place other than here and any time other than now. Sometimes it will be so clear, oh, actually not. Other times it will be, well, I'm not sure, I don't know. But somehow this clarification brings us closer by degrees, therefore, to then just bringing our attention to what is actually occurring in the here of this body and the now of this awareness. As I was contemplating, suddenly there was this beautiful gush it was like the gush of sensations and movement of breathing that just kind of rose in awareness. And there was this quality of gratitude that became the point of union between the mind and this direct experience of breathing. How happy it is that we live so close to this foundation of the body. And how sad it is that we live so far away. How happy it is that we live so close to this foundation of this here and now. And yet we have some bridges to cross in the Great Divide. And it'll be bridges that you cross in moments of choice, in moments of surrender. There's nothing wrong when the mind takes the journey into imagination. That's its habit. But there is something truly, again, auspicious that occurs in the moment that the mind surrenders into the communion with the direct experience of the awareness of this body sitting here, breathing this breath in this moment. And as consciousness grows, so does the awareness that it's a choice that we make. Other than this, I'm not going to offer any instructions because I'm simply speaking to a process that's already awakened within you. And I'm simply offering reflections on that process, knowing that the teachings, Dhamma teachings, are just a mirror for us all to look into and to recognize where it is that we are working within our practice. So we can just continue from here, this contemplation, if you wish. Is there anything other than here or now? And now. And then just seeing how that helps us to own our own attention in each moment and to begin to see where it is that we either lose it or surrender it. And to use this natural process of this body breathing as a place to build up or to continue to build up the force of mindfulness. And then we can refine this process along the way. So we have some time now to attend to our practice, and then when the bell rings, I'll make a few suggestions about how to maintain this natural, simple, and underlying perspective while doing walking meditation. Taking a moment to view the distinction between the sensory awareness here within this body, including the sensations flowing concurrently with each inhalation and exhalation. The distinction between sensory awareness and thinking. And bring the quality of interest closer to this foundational awareness here within this body.
knowing the distinction between the entrapment of thinking and the direct experience of the sensations unfolding in this moment of this body sitting here, breathing this breath in awareness. And when that distinction is known, simply inclining the mind towards the awareness of the now of this body. The now of this movement arising and the sensations arising of this process of breathing occurring within this body. to know the difference between that which is intended and that which arises. Otherwise, is an aspect of the awakened mind. And therefore it becomes more and more possible to use intention as a way to direct our attention. And so in this case, in this process of learning to develop a seamless awareness, it's helpful to form the intention, an intention to be present while in a transition of posture. And as the Buddha taught, there are four postures, and we would all agree. Maybe we would have something to add, but in the simplicity of the teachings, the Buddha said that there is sitting, standing, walking, and lying down. And we live our lives in transition from one posture to the next. And so, if we learn to bridge the gaps from one to the other, then what we're doing is we're inviting the flow of mind, of consciousness, to run through our lives. And consciousness, by nature, is reflective, is intuitive. So during our practice on a retreat, we practice. We use intention to continue to remember what we have decided to practice. It's like we're threading a needle. If the needle, if the thread is frayed, that's interesting. If the mind is afraid, then it's very difficult to establish just that little movement, the thread, and then to navigate it through the eye of the needle. And that's very much what practice is like at times. We work to steady and to compose the mind so that it can be directed, so to speak, through the eye of the needle moment to moment. And then the mind flows naturally in the direction that we guide it through intentionality. I'll go into these principles this evening associated with the functions of mindfulness. But where we guide our attention dictates, therefore, where our minds flow. And in that flowing of mind, this energy, as it arises in the form of mindfulness, it takes on a reflective of awareness, this knowing. And one facet of knowing is knowing when one's attention has somehow just kind of departed. We began the retreat last evening by slowing down, and I really, really very touched by the degree to which everyone has engaged that possibility. And so now we're better able really to attend more fully and more completely to our practice. And I want to suggest that there are many layers and processes within our mind that are still moving quite fast. And I just have to add that I learned this by working with a teacher that reminded me over 2 months to keep slowing down. And I am not one that's known for going very fast. But it was very interesting to be reminded and to keep seeing that which is born in impulse. So slowing down And taking good care of intentionality, the intention in this case to remain present in the transition from sitting to standing. In order to actually experience the process at a physical level, not to observe it, but to experience it. And to keep slowing down into that experience until you find that juncture between observing it and experiencing it. Because true observation is here within the direct experience of something. Not something distant. And go as slow as you wish in order to keep coming closer and to find that experience, whatever it is, in that moment of just, well, what is it? You know, if the intention is to transition from sitting to standing, then what is the experience? I don't know until I experience it. Let me see. Let me take out my book of theory. Well, first of all, the body will either lean forward or move to the left or right. Okay, let me observe that. Is different than putting down our book of theory and saying, all right, how is it that the body begins this transition? And to stay concurrently aware with it. Because this is, as well as a process of clarification, a process of discovery. And what we're discovering is what is already. It's very interesting. Where does the movement begin? In the body that provides the impetus for all the other movements occurring in the body that make up the moment-by-moment process of transitioning from sitting to standing. Let's look and see for ourselves. And then when standing, stop and be aware of this actual experience, informing the intention, therefore, in the transition from standing to walking, to be present in the actual experience of it, rather than in the observation of it. Because that observation is just this misguided sense of authority that continues to think. Whereas indirect experience thought is not necessary for now. So what is the experience of transitioning from sitting to standing and from standing to walking and so forth? Forming the intention at each juncture to be present and then renewing this intention when about ready to cross over another juncture to another posture. Might be a very interesting way to proceed. I'll be meeting with anybody who wishes in the room just to the right. If you're looking at the bulletin board, there's a room just to your right. You'll see the door. And those who are new to retreat, those who just want to clarify what's going on here, just those who wish to introduce themselves, whatever, you're welcome.